Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to episode 34 of the Metaverse Podcast. I'm Jero, your host, and I'm not alone this time. I actually have company here with me for this episode. So, Shizzle's here.
Hey, what's up?
And it's been too long since she's been here. Kyokai.
Yay! How are you guys doing?
I mean, unless you count the interview I did with her.
Yeah.
Well, back.
Yeah, even that was back
even
in
that
May.
Even that back.
Right.
Yep, it's been a long time since she's been in an episode, so it's good to have her back. It's been an eventful past year or so for you.
Yes, isn't it? Getting into a relationship, then getting married. Oh my god. Everything happened so fast. Oh my god, seriously. And oh, I attended a convention for the record for the first time in my life. So it was pretty good. This year is my year. Oh my god, it's very eventful, I swear.
Yeah, it looked like you had a lot of fun. And then, of course, you had the Shiki figure.
Oh my god.
Spend the husband's money already.
Hey, that was my money, okay. I spent his money later, but that was my money. Oh my god. I mean, I think, you know, the first time I saw it on the showcase, so that shop was already too busy because, you know, people were buying stuff, and I was like literally like my face plastered on the showcase. I was like my, like, you know, the shopkeeper was looking at me and then he was smiling. And I was like, is this for sale? because you know, half of the stuff is not for sale on the showcase because they have like limited edition or it's just for show. Usually it's up with Fate Zero stuff, usually. But he was like, no, it's for sale. See, the price is there. And then I was like, oh my god, this is like $110. And I was literally like, okay, how long is this? And you know, how big is this? Do you have a new bag? This, that? I asked him so many questions. But then I was like, okay, I'm gonna come back. So I tweeted, I liked it, I asked so many people, everyone was like, oh, get it. So it was good, I bought it, and the guy gave me $10 discount, so yay.
Nice. And is it still in the box, or did you take it out?
No, it's still in the box. I don't have the heart to take it out. I don't know, I mean, unless I'm prepared to showcase it, I'm not gonna even touch it. It's too precious for me.
You gotta take it out. Play with it.
You gotta set it free.
Yeah.
It's dying in the box.
He's sleeping in its coffin.
Like, how it's the outside world.
Oh god. Oh god, you're like, you guys are sounding like I'm killing
shit.
It's
gonna be like Toy Story and it'll come to life.
Yeah, I was gonna say, haven't you seen Toy Story?
I know,
Toy
right?
Are alive.
They come alive.
Except for that one, what was it, the Christmas Story, where if a human sees you, then you're frozen forever.
That would suck
for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'll see. If it's out, you guys will know for the first thing.
Cool. All right, yeah. So we got a couple news stories here. We rarely do news, but we have a couple items worth mentioning. The first being Hayao Miyazaki. It was announced that he is retiring from the production of feature-length films and some of the most iconic anime movies like Princess Mononoke, Castle in the Sky, Spirited Away. So hopefully, you know, they make it specific that it's feature-length films that he's retiring from. He could come back to do some short stuff like that, but he'll definitely be missed.
Yeah, so he hasn't been doing it for a while, so it's like, kind of, you know, deserves a little break here.
Yeah.
It happens with, like, all the manga artists, too. They take long breaks and stuff. You're like, leave you hanging.
And then Space Dandy, a new anime that has been announced for the winter season, I believe?
In 2014. It's going to come out next year.
Okay. But it is directed by Shinichiro Watanabe and is a Bones anime, and we'll have to include a trailer in the show notes. It looks like a blast of an anime.
Yep.
Alright, so on this episode, we're going to be talking about some of the series that we really don't get to talk about here on the podcast because they were longer-running anime. We might have talked about them as way back as episode 29, I believe, with Highway, about the spring season. But actually, this one right here, we haven't even talked about at all. Is Space Brothers. It's been going on ever since winter 2012? Or no, that seems...
Let me check.
Yeah.
How long okay. has it...
But yeah, it has been going on for about 70 episodes now, and it's been just a...
71.
And it's been just a really fun anime series. There's something comforting about watching this anime, knowing that each episode you're going to get a nice, solid episode of anime. It's a very slow-paced story, you know, and sometimes I kind of feel like they hammer home their brothers stuff a little too much, but but just in general, I mean, it's a great story, great characters. Muta is great, voiced by Hiroaki Hirata, and it's been so much fun.
Okay, now I got the date. It's April 2012. So yeah, 2012, you got it right.
Okay, good, spring.
Yeah, and I think since it started, a lot of people said, oh, it's slow and whatever, but it's a long-running show, and you know, mm-hmm. you actually learn them being all this. I mean, their achievements and their goals in life, it's a huge, what can you say, success story in a way, you know, mm-hmm. and you actually see one by one how these go. So it's something very unique. You don't really find it these days, and specifically long-running shows, no way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you get 2 core maximum, and this is one of the longest running. And the good thing about it is how they show bonds with people specifically,
mm-hmm.
and how it's so close to human emotions, really. Like, you really, there are points that you're going to cry, you're going to, you know, laugh, you're going to really, you know, feel sad about Muta, how he's going. But mm-hmm. then you, I mean, you know that, which was episode 70 something, where there's this picture of him taken with his brothers and they hang it together on NASA. That was
hilarious.
That was a moment. And, you know, you are like, bringing up an emotion that, oh my god, this is happening, and then you finally see the expression on Muta's face and you burst out laughing. Like, what is that? What kind of face is that? You haven't even seen him make that kind of face ever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny. It's funny and emotional in its own right. And I really, like, every time they get a new challenge, like that whole moon excavation that these guys did, like, you know, Himito fell off that crater mm-hmm. and everything.
Yeah.
But it was huge emotional episodes, like going through, oh my god, what's going to happen? And all that. So it really takes you in. You just have to be current with it. But I always have a smile on my face when I watch an episode of this.
Yeah, there was that one episode where Himito almost kicked the bucket. And I was just like,
oh my god.
Oh god,
yes.
This is going to be my least favorite episode, most emotional episode of the series. But then they were able to pull through with I think it was Brian was the name of that
Brian.
Device that
Brian.
They had. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they clicked on the whole emotional part, like, you know, he was kind of a guru to him mm-hmm. in a way. So Brian coming for his rescue was actually very poetic in a way.
Yeah.
So, all of that, like, I was, like, you know, really busting my bubble. I was like, oh, what's gonna happen? What's gonna happen? But, you know, we had that good response, and I think it was Muta's idea, if I remember. He
mm-hmm.
told them to send a backup.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good.
That's what I like about the show, too, is that Muta is a genuinely kind of a smart guy. There's no kind of accidental... He doesn't fail upwards or anything like that. Like, he is a smart dude when he puts his mind to it. Like in that situation where he contributed to saving Himito, even though NASA didn't listen to Jax's advice at that time. But we were excited just for the idea of it being a 48-episode series. So, you know, 71, all the more better. And it's not that far off from where the manga's at. It's only about, like, maybe 17 or 20 chapters behind, but the slow pacing of the anime helps out with, you know, almost a one-to-one conversion between manga chapter and anime.
I mean, have you caught up to the manga yet?
I've admittedly just peeked at recent chapters
mm-hmm.
where stuff that's going on right now with Himito about to go to Russia is in the 120s, I want to say. 110s, and the manga is up to about chapter 145, so...
Oh.
So it's pretty close, but keeps chugging along.
Yeah. And you're right about, you know, Muta using his brain. I think the only incident that I remember where he did not use his brain was the whole saving that, you know, that restaurant thing when he supposedly was going after Apo, but he actually kind of saved everyone and became a hero. That one, that was pretty, like, it was just... I think that was the only part where he did not use his brain, and it was all just luck, really, that he mm-hmm. became a hero, and that became a catalyst of him being selected in a way, at least.
All right, so let's talk about Attack on Titan. 20 episodes currently, and we just had a really big one this episode. Episode 21. Spoilers, people. The episode title really gives it away. Crushing Blow. And
okay, Jero, can you tell me like what happened in episode 12? Because I have read the manga, so I know what happens. I just need to know exactly where episode 20 cuts out.
Okay, so the Survey Corps that Eren was with, they go to fight the Titan.
The female Titan.
Yeah, the female Titan. They all die, and Eren realizes, kind of goes through this whole thing in the episode about he made the wrong decision by trusting everybody in that he was with in the Survey Corps. So he turns into a Titan and loses, and then the Titan, which I think many people think is Annie, bites him off and sort of chews him whole and takes him.
And by then, Mikasa gets there. She sees that happen in front of her, and she chases the Titan down. And Levi kind of jumps in and saves her, stops her from doing it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is Annie. He's like... That's pretty much Annie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, this was a huge, I can say, cliffhanger, even in the manga when this chapter came out, that, you know, what's going to happen. They have literally kidnapped Eren. But, yeah, anyways, I'm not going to say what happens later, but it's pretty. I mean, both of you are, like, onto anime only?
Yep.
Once the anime is done, I plan on reading the manga, the remaining chapters. I don't think I'll read from chapter one. I'll just kind of find out where it ends. Because I can see in the show that at times it can get a little monologue-y. It can get heavy into explanation and exposition. And for a 40-page manga chapter, that kind of feels like maybe torture that I would have to go through it again.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain...
And I've heard the artwork's not that great.
No, it's not.
The beginning. So.
Oh, in the beginning, terrible. It's horrible. Like, I'll tell you, when, like, first 10 chapters, I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah.
Seriously. I'm like, oh my god, why did this? But then, like, you know, you actually see it, you know, become better. Like, in the beginning, you, like, you know, you see those hands not being really coordinating, but, and, like, Titans are ugly as ass, but then, you know, after chapter 10, you can actually see it becoming better, and Eren is looking more proper and all that. So yeah, I mean, I think the only big difference you will see in between the anime and manga is eyes of Eren, because in manga it's all white, you know. I mean, whenever he's specifically in the mode or he just comes out of a Titan or all that, he has this extra white eyes, like, you know, you can't really see any emotions. Anime has done a very better job of that. Like, you know, you can see so many things. Like, there are a lot of times that the camera zooms on his eyes and his eyes show more emotion than his face does. So that's pretty well done in anime, not in manga that much.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't know that about the white eye part, but it does help, because maybe you can help me out with this. In the manga, that kind of sounds like they're not really... he seems inhuman at that point.
Yes.
Which, I mean, he is, but, you know, they basically take all humanity out of Eren when he turns into a Titan.
Yeah, and, you know, as his character, even from beginning, like, chapter one and all that, you always say there was this, like, you know, dark part in him that makes him kind of crazy. Like, if you remember, there was this dialogue by Levi in one of the recent episodes, I forgot the number, but he said that the real monster, I will always think that the real monster is Eren himself. rather than any titan or whatever. Because first, he becomes a titan, great. Second is his will to destroy the titans.
Right,
like,
exactly.
That thing is something that makes him an ideal protagonist. I mean, he wants to kill them. He hates them so much that every time something similar happens or whatever, he becomes too emotional to do anything else. So that's one thing that always works for his character. Like, you know, Koresteru, the way that Yugi Kaji says it, it's, I mean, kind of, we have gotten used to Yugi Kaji doing that, but it always works for this character.
Yeah, I think I was going to say, it's basically same, you know, most shonen shows have the character, the power up. So, to me, yeah, I like that part of him. Even though most episodes they drag on, they're like leading you on. They're like, okay, you're gonna see something cool. Just to keep watching, but you're so caught up in the action, and you just before you realize the episode's over, you're like, oh damn, wait next week. I was telling my brother, it feels a little bit like Dragon Ball Z back in the old day, where you know they're leading up to a cool fight, but you never see it until like you know weeks and weeks and weeks. So, and it's kind of cool how they...
But instead of watching people charge up, they're talking.
Yeah, pretty much.
And no, in the middle of the battle, they're talking.
Yeah.
Like, when they're supposed to fight and shit, oh, they're like, you know, dialogues.
Like when the female titans chasing them in the woods. Levi and their team, they're just, you know, talking while the titans chasing them. Mm-hmm. I'm like...
Exactly, don't look back. Don't look back. Exactly. Don't look back. It was almost funny that, like, you know, Levi just didn't even see. I mean, he didn't even glance backwards. You know, he was just like his deadpan expression, and he's just going ahead and ahead. And everyone's like, you know, orders. What are you gonna do? It was funny that scene. I was like, oh my god, these guys, poor guys, seriously.
I was gonna ask, is it wrong that I cheer for the Titans when they start killing things? the female Titans
okay,
is going like berserk and everything. She even kicked a horse. I was like, the best stuff. I always laugh when I see that.
That was sick.
Makes me laugh. And then she took the other guy and spun him like a yo-yo. I was like, oh my god.
Oh yeah. Petra Rawl's death was especially ugly because I'm just assuming it's Annie at this point. Annie the Titan kicked her up against a tree.
Oh yeah,
you can see that her head is, you know, her neck is broken.
Yeah, the impact, you can just see it. Like, oh damn. Oh,
and like, you know, it kind of kills you even more. Like, I think, you know, Jero, when you're doing this segment, definitely say spoilers, and most probably future spoilers, because yeah, it is going to be Annie. I am confirming.
All right.
It.
Okay, good.
Well, other thing with the show, okay, with the Titans, you can kind of figure who's who because the hairstyles. If they would have changed them up a little bit, they would keep it a big secret. But yeah, I mean, Eren's was kind of it was out of left field, but I kind of figured when it showed up in Protecting Mikasa, I was like, okay, it's Eren. So it's the only explanation.
It was, for me, it was more of his eyes than his hair.
Yeah.
Because, like, when it showed in anime, I was not even sure. I mean, I didn't read the manga, so I wasn't sure who it was.
Yeah.
But eyes gave it away, you know, it was pretty clear.
And even farther back, they had that scene where his dad's injecting him with something. I was like, that's gotta be, you know, something for Titans. It's gotta be something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
my experience in the anime and sci-fi movies, it's like, yeah, it has to be something like that. So,
all right.
And I guess another cool moment would be, I guess, when like the armored titan appears, like, oh my god, when the first time you run into that wall, you're like, holy crap.
Yeah, and stuff that has been going on recently has kind of explained what happened in a very early episode where Eren was fighting that titan, then and all of a sudden it just suddenly disappeared.
Right. It's almost like they have this, like, you know, hierarchy of titans. Okay, this one's the tank. He rushes in, just, you know, creates an opening for the little other titans to go in. And, like, the colossal titan's, like, the commander type. He just shows up and scouts. Maybe he's a scout more than anything, because he can teleport. Like, that'd be kind of cool,
yeah,
I guess.
Really?
Teleport?
Well, he appears. I mean, he just kind of... Like, I think when Eren was... I think he says something about the like the armored titan, for instance, he runs to the wall and then he's gone. Like, where did he go? You don't really see him.
And
I think he just transformed, isn't it? I think that's what happened, really.
Because you see in this episode, they show like a thunder strike from the sky.
Yeah.
When Eren changes into Titan form.
Yeah. Right. I think there's a theory going on that sunlight is supposedly very important and you can't really do it at night, but it's really not been proven. I've seen a lot of theories going around. I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, definitely that transformation causes that. And it was really no teleportation.
Interesting. I can't wait for the anime to end so I can get to the manga and be current.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Like, and it's like, you know, monthly manga, so you only get one chapter per month, but you'll be like, after every chapter, you'll be like, oh my god, what's gonna happen now?
I've been hearing it's getting, like, really popular here in the States, so it's like, you know, if Funimation, they're gonna be on a cash cow of that series when they get to dubbing and licensing and all that crap with that.
It's
I'm not
get
sure if it'll be on, like, Toonami, because it's kind of hyper-violent, and Toonami doesn't really do that, but they might do it, because they did Dead Man Wonderland. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Bloody core. Yeah,
sneaking in there at like 2 o'clock.
Right, they can do it. I mean. And it's kind of like, a bunch of people have talked about it before, it's the westernized show. It's, you know, it's kind of Walking Dead in a certain way with, you got all these, you know, creatures that are running around eating people. And like survival, you know. That's something anyone can kind of pick up. And even if you're not an anime fan, you can kind of watch it, I think.
Yeah. Think about Sword Art Online followed by Attack on Titan on Toonami.
Oh my god.
A battle of shows that have the widest array of viewpoints across fandom. It's like some people are like, this is amazing, or others are like, it's not really that hot.
This is incest. Okay. What are you
doing? I wanna know that, are there people who hate Titan? Seriously? These kind of people exist?
There are some, yeah.
I think it's They put it on par with Guilty Crown. I've seen some people even do that.
If you think about Titan by itself, it's, I mean, honestly, it's not really a complex series to me. Like I said before,
yeah,
it's basically zombies that are just supersized. To me, anyway. And that's kind of, survival story is kind of easy to me.
Yeah, it's not Fate Zero. Deep plot and this, that, whatever.
Yeah,
but
it's not metaphors, they're 24/7.
It's not Sword Art Online.
You're not gonna say, "Oh, this is a metaphor for God." No, it's not. This is monsters eating people.
Jesus Christ!
What more do you want?
I do like the idea of giant zombies.
Yeah.
For a movie or an anime.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like they're the
next
trend.
Year.
Yeah, like the trend is to do them fast these days. Like in World War Z, maybe oversized giants.
You slap some armor on them,
zombies.
And they're like, "You got armored zombies." It's crazy. And people that can transform into zombie, you know, will be kind of crazy.
Now we have one more show that we want to talk about here, Railgun S. We've gone through the big arc with Misaka versus Item and the Little Sisters and the replay of Accelerator and Thomas fight. Now we're getting into a new arc with Febley. Fosh, you've been blogging the show.
Oh, yes.
What do you think about this new arc so far?
This new arc, I think it's original, not in the manga, so it's going to be basically filler. But so I was reading a couple comments that it ties in somewhere later on, but I'll be only disappointed that this would be like a quick arc. It's going to be real fast. I think we only have 4 episodes left, according to Mal. But yeah, it's cool seeing, like I said, when I watched season 1, it ended and it kind of left you hanging. And then you got to watch Index Season 2. So, Railgun S is, I was like seeing all these characters I like. I don't think there's a character in this series I do not like in Railgun. Even like Toma's little appearance in the beginning was kind of nice. I didn't mind him being around. And like you said before, the item, that's something we get to see Misaka fight in a different way where she has to use her brain versus her power. In Railgun Season 1, she's just powerhouse. You just see her use power like it's nothing. But in this series, you see her struggle. She gets beat up. She almost gets close to getting killed here and there. So it's kind of nice.
And it's really cool, like, throughout the whole Little Sisters arc, is that she was doing most of it alone. She didn't have to worry about Kuriko being there, or even Saten or Uehara being there for inexplainable reasons. Like, why would they be there? But that was kind of the cool part of seeing her kind of alone being able to cut loose in fights, but also having worthy rivals like Frenda and Meltdowner being, and that's also been a good thing, is seeing some of the level 5s. Although, it doesn't sound like we'll see much of Shohoku, who we saw in the first episode, but overall I've been enjoying this season so much more than the first one. The slice of life stuff I'm not too crazy about. Mm-hmm. And even you say filler content for this or anime original, but I do kind of like the idea of that one guy coming in. I don't know his name, but he was the one that was criticizing Kongo for using her power out in public, and
right.
There's some kind of thing involving him and a secret organization. So there is some interest to this arc, some worth to it.
I think with this series, with this sequel, we get to see a more of an emotional side of Misaka. You know, season one, we don't get to see that because, you know, she keeps it all inside. So we get to see, you know, the stress she went through with all the clones. You know, when she discovered that there actually were clones of her, she wasn't too happy with that. I mean, she freaked out. I mean, it's kind of scary seeing yourself, even seeing yourself get killed in front of you like that. When Accelerator did that, so it's, you know, for her, like I said, you know, more emotion from her this time.
It was kind of more human. It was kind of more human because, like, I would agree with Gerald that I am enjoying the second season more than the first one. First one was just too girly, too, like, and there were a lot of Yuri things in season one as well. It was almost funny. But I think season two, I liked it more because, the whole Accelerator arc was too big. I mean, yeah, they spent a long time just to, you know, play that out. But we got to see that face of Misaka that we haven't ever had seen. I mean, we were always said, yeah, she's like, you know, she's going to zap you if you do something, and that was just her character, that's all. You never got to know that, okay, she could be nice, or she could actually take care of her friends, or she can do more than just kicking ass. I mean, you know, she can be vulnerable, she can be emotional. So those new faces were something that I really liked. I mean, I could finally get attuned with her character and how she became whatever she is. So that was like really cool, the way that, you know, they explained, and whatever, people might call it slow, but I think they did a good job. First arc was amazing. For me, I would rather recommend a person seeing second season rather than first season, because first season is just like, you know, small arcs, slice of life-ish episodes. Nothing big really happened. Specifically, that, remember that baby thing, that giant whatever baby? That was just the most horrible, stupid thing ever on anime made. Okay, like, that thing just pissed me off so much.
I kind of like the idea, you know, that it's like a... Go ahead, sorry.
No, idea is good, like, you know, using people, like, the whole idea of downloading and using people as supercomputers, that was cool, but, like, you know, could you just make it something cooler rather than a stupid baby?
Yeah, I kind of wanted it to be more like a single person who had, like, multiple abilities from different people they stole. I know that's been done, like, several shows, like Heroes. Yeah. Siler does that. He can take Bill's power and, like, give it to himself and Mick basically becomes like this powerhouse, I guess.
Hey, Siler's back, I hear.
Yeah.
They keep saying that so much on that show.
And, I agree with you on that one, Kyo. People should watch season two of Rebel Ness instead.
Exactly.
And I almost feel that they could skip a little bit of Index too with this, because they'd show you the sisters and all that.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, you know, first season of Index, you can't really skip, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's all Index coming in, then all the, you know, all the church crap and all the political crap. But you have to understand what's really happening behind Academy City. So to get that kind of background story, season one becomes important in explaining the world. But Index 2, man.
And Rogan S even goes even deeper, showing you that, you know, there's a very evil side to Academy City. They don't really dare do whatever it takes to get, they achieve their experiment, such as, you know, cloning and killing clones.
Exactly. They don't give a shit.
Even using Accelerator, you know, they used him, you know, they tricked him into doing this experiment because they bribed him with power. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So you get to see more of that with him too. And even the hint towards Last Order. I like that in Rogue S. They kind of showed that.
You know, one funny moment from that series that I really enjoyed was when they were at that Joe's Burgers.
Yeah.
What's the name of that restaurant? Yeah,
it's like Joseph's or something like that.
Yeah, Joe Star Burgers. Well, go ahead and call it that for fun. They were at the restaurant and they ran into Mugino and Frenda there, and it was basically the little ones were harassing the bigger ones in their plots and stuff.
Yeah, it was like Frenda versus Kuriko in a battle of like, no, my sister's better than your sister. Mm-hmm. And just comparing like, well, she's got bigger boobs than yours. And like, oh my god. It was pretty funny just seeing that.
Yeah. Flat is justice.
And then my favorite is just Satin. I just, there's something about that character. Yeah. Just, when she's on screen, it just makes me happy. Just, again, she's kind of like, she has no powers, but she's fine with that.
There's a relatable element to her.
Definitely.
Because we don't have powers. Kind of felt that way about Final Fantasy XIII. Kind of a weird comparison there. But Saz was a character that I kind of felt relatable to because he wasn't the same as those guys.
Yeah.
But I feel that way about Sutton. I just love her.
And even with like Misako, who has all this power, like Akio was saying, she can be very girly when times call for it. You know, she can be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She doesn't let the power go to her head like other characters in the series.
Yeah, and less of Kuriko basically raping Misaka.
Oh yeah, they've definitely toned that out with some of the episodes, but whenever she is on screen, she doesn't make me laugh, so I'm kind of glad she's still around. But yeah, I'm kind of also glad she doesn't do as much of the Yuri stuff as she did in season one.
Mm-hmm.
And last thing to mention, Accelerator is getting a spinoff manga, so if you like that character, you can look at his own story here pretty soon.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Is it going to be serialized in like some magazine or something?
I'm not sure, but all I keep hearing is it's going to be not an original story, I think, is what I keep hearing.
I'm getting anxious for the Index movie to come out.
Oh, it's out now. I heard the subs for it were great, but I must still watch it.
Okay.
I have to link it.
Alright, so anything else to talk about before we close off here? Much shorter episode than we usually do. It's been that way for the past couple weeks. Just crazy long episodes.
I think the only thing I would say is, you know, another long-running series that carried over from last season was Majestic Prince. It's mech and all that stuff. I would say people will probably watch the first 5 episodes. It gets better, after that.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. After the first episode, I wasn't feeling too good about it, but mm-hmm. I'm not as current with the series right now. But it is a fun show, and I do like that they're kind of a fun group. That's what I really like about it, is that it's not all super serious all the time. And,
right, it's not Gundam Seed.
Yeah.
This is like more lighthearted Gundam Seed.
Yeah. And there's good action.
Oh yeah, when they get into the action moments, it's like, wow, the series has pretty impressive CGI. And if I compare it to the other shows like Valve Raven, Gargantia at the time, I'd probably put this one higher than both of those as far as like CGI action moments.
Oh,
but this might get another season. They're thinking about it.
Yeah.
So, it'd be kind of cool.
Ever since our last podcast, episode 33, I've been reading a lot more manga recently, and I've been reading Assassination Classroom, which I really enjoyed. Sort of like a really kind of a funny series about killing a teacher. It's actually going to be getting an OVA series sometime soon, I believe in October. So I almost kind of see that as almost like what Mirai Nikki did, where it had a little OVA episode, and then eventually will be confirmed as an anime at some point. We're only about 50 definitely. Chapters in, but but yeah, that's been good. I'm anxious to read Attack on Titan, and then Nisei Koi, which is coming out in the winter season. I've read some episodes or chapters of that.
It's also been about I think it's Yamada and Seven Witches. There's like a short, like a, I don't know what it was, maybe like a trailer or something, but people keep telling me it's not going to get animated, but I think it might eventually one day. I mean, but
so far, did you catch up?
No, not yet.
Oh, come on, it's so cool.
I'm like 15 chapters in, it's so freaking long.
Dude, this is, okay, I'll tell you, this is, if you have heard about Yankee-kun to Mogane-chan, that was one of, you can say, very popular mangas back in the day. I think this was 2-3 years ago. So this is the same mangaka. This is Yamada-kun to Seven Witches, and both of these series have been, you can say, adapted into J-dramas. So I think Yamada-kun just started in September, and Yankee-kun was actually covered by Ness for Metanon for the first time, if I remember. When she joined in, she covered the whole series. It's pretty interesting. The art is amazing. The expression on faces of people is amazing. Like, the comic faces that this mangaka can make, they are just like, whoa. Like, Foss has read it, so I think Foss has some idea about it. Like, you know, the way that, you know, oh my god, it's so cool. And the comedy is really good. I mean, specifically in case of Yamada-kun, you can actually see some ecchi going on. There was no ecchi in Yankee-kun. There's lots of ecchi going on, and there's lots of kissing going on, because basically the story is that Yamada has the power to copy witches' powers. So what he does is, there are seven witches in the school, and he's going to discover them. But the thing is that to copy a witch power, he has to kiss them. So he's been kissing guys, he's been kissing girls. Yep. It's pretty funny.
And switching bodies with them. So
It's pretty funny. Like, you really get into the whole thing. And Foch, like, you will. There's a Frau in it.
Yeah,
I keep on telling Foch to catch up. And Frau actually looks like completely Frau of Robotic Notes. So it's actually funny. Nice. And her character is eccentric enough. So, plus 40 chapters you are in, you actually see her. She's one of the witches. And it's pretty funny. Like, you'll get into it. And I am still surprised why this has not been, you know, adapted into anime. Even Yankee-kun. Both of these are so good. I don't know why. And they have a fan following. So, no idea why, but they should definitely get an anime adaptation.
Yeah, I might have to try this series out. I'm looking at it and the character designs do look really good.
It's really good. It's clean. Right? It's beautiful.
Like, in the past year, if you saw the Haganai live action trailer.
Oh, no, I haven't.
They're making a movie of that.
So. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There's a lot of there's some etchy in the trailer. I'll show you later. With Senna, okay. Her character.
Yeah, the main guy that's written the novels isn't directly involved in it, but he's like, go see it when it comes out.
Yep.
I'm looking at that Seven Witches. Noah Takigawa is the name of the Frau-like character.
Yeah. He's pretty cool. And Yamada character is pretty cool. Like, he's one of the kind of protagonists I would actually like, because he's bad, he's good. He's not your staple hero, you know? Oh, I will always do good and that's all. No. He has a great thing in him as well, and the comedy actually enhances his character, and currently the chapters are really cool. Like, it's kind of a thriller. He has gone into a situation where most of the people have forgotten about him, so he's now like in a fix that he has made such a long you know, you can say it. He has spent so much time with these guys and they don't recognize him. It's kind of what he's going to do about it. So he's strategizing and this and that. So the way the story comes out, and all the characters, even some, like, you know, cameo characters from, I think, the hero from the previous manga, Adachi, that guy is actually a teacher in this one. Matt's teacher. So it's funny. So you know some characters, you don't know some characters, but they're still likable and all that. So it's pretty cool. I think everyone can give this a try. It's a multi-genre thing. If ecchi is not your thing, maybe you can get turned off. If ecchi is not your thing, you should just go read Yankee-kun.
Kyo just likes it because there's guy kissing. That's all. That's why.
No. Hey,
so
you're
a Naga. You can read it too.
Oh my god. No. Hey, I'm gonna read yaoi if I like. No.
You know, speaking of ecchi and also likable male protagonist, all it took was one little comment on our episode 33 podcast about Shokugeki no Soma to go read it.
And I do read yaoi. I don't need this for yaoi.
Oh, no, this isn't yaoi. This is just, it's a manga about cooking. And the main protagonist, I keep wanting to say something else other than Soma, but I've been really liking this guy because he's brimming with confidence, and, you know, under the terms of cooking, he has a little bit of a kind of a bit of a badass quality. I mean, that might be a little strong, but
he's very spicy.
Spicy, I like that term.
Yeah, he's very. Yeah, I've read most of it, and his interactions with the I guess she's like the she's some blonde girl, but his interaction with her is just hilarious. She's never ever gonna admit he's a better cook than her, and she always makes up these excuses like, "Oh, it didn't taste good, whatever," and she'll walk off and go like, "Oh my god, that's amazing."
Yeah, even you know when people enjoy good cooking on that show, it's a near orgasmic experience.
Yeah,
show manga.
Yeah, like a shot. Like she's like in rice. She's naked, obviously, sitting in this big giant rice bowl, and she's like. Because the food was just so amazing to her, that's the only way she could describe it.
Okay, what is this? What is this series? What?
It's called Shokugeki no Soma. It is a manga about a boy named Yukihiro Soma, who is a cook with his dad at some special of the day shop, and then he gets enrolled in this academy where it's almost like cooking boot camp, where they just have to do all these cooking things, and every time it's either... you either do good or you're going to get expelled from the school because you didn't make food that was incredibly amazingly awesome.
It's almost sounds like Iron Chef too. They give them the ingredient, you have to run with that ingredient and make something that they've never had before.
Shokugeki.
Right, exactly. And they do have food battles like that. They can do a one-on-one match where if the other one wins, you get expelled or get kicked out. So it's like, kind of arena match thing. It's kind of cool. Huh? I could see that getting anime one day. It's too early right now, but yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's only 37 chapters, so if you want to read it, it's not too steep of a mountain to climb.
Just don't read it when you're hungry, because I'm telling you. It's like, oh my god.
give me link, because I can't find it on, and I think I'm spelling it wrong.
All right, we'll do that. We'll go ahead and close the podcast here, and we'll get all these links and stuff out there.
Yeah, yeah. One thing I wanted to do before we close out is I think there are some people who would who were waiting for Silver Spoon mini talks. So if you guys are listening, we most probably how about doing a series ender? I think we can cover that in Metaverse rather than doing a separate mini talk. What do you guys think?
I like that.
Yeah, I think I'm doing the same with Broken S as well.
Yeah. So we'll either do a separate mini talk or we'll just cover it on Metaverse, not a problem. But yeah, I mean, covering same thing weekly basis, it was not really ideal. It was not becoming ideal for us. And in the end, it's all about, you know, Hachiken experience different things. So it's just one guy, but he's experiencing new things. What can you, say a lot? On weekly basis for that, it's more of a very slice of lifey emotional thing that you would like to watch by yourself rather than discuss, because not a lot of lot of things happen really.
Because a weekly mini talk an episode would have been like this: so Hachiken made a pizza, Fosh, how do you feel about that?
It was awesome. Animals were there,
it tasted
farming.
Awesome.
They did a tractor thing.
He went to a farm. Then he discovered a tractor. Then he did a he delivered
cow,
a baby.
Cow
udders. So yeah, all these animal jokes that we don't want to do. Thank you.
Oh, we did. No, we did some. I was like, they're censor like the blood and guts, but they won't censor the cow udders. Muggle tails with that.
They look like boobs.
Dude, that was kind of like delivering the baby. I was like, oh my god, I liked doing it.
Rip it out. Like,
I was screaming. I was screaming inside my head. I was like, oh shit, they're showing this, and they had a string attached to its leg, and they pulled it out. What? So yeah, that was kind of. So it's not. It's too intense for us guys. We can't do it on an easy basis. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be back in just a couple weeks. It's gonna end episode 11. Before we sign off, MetaQ is a segment that we used to do, but we haven't really been promoting it all that much, and we haven't gotten any questions. So I want to say, please go to MetaQ I think it's up there on the top of the page on Metanorn. You just go there and ask us a question, and we'd be glad to answer it on the podcast.
Yeah, and it's actually, it doesn't have to always be a question. You can actually, recommend a subject or even a topic that you would want us to cover on podcast, because, like, in the end, we do it on the basis of, like, you know, seasons, what we are watching, what we are recommending. Something out of the blue would be really great, like, you know, something that you would want us to discuss. That'd be great.
And pro tip, don't ask about our favorite colors or favorite food, because
or vegetables.
We will come to your house and find you. And make you eat that food. So. Anyway. Yeah, MediQ.
MediQ. Blogs going. So many shows are covered. Almost like 5 posts a day on average, it feels like.
Seriously, man.
It's like a race to get in that top position.
Yeah. Top post.
We don't need to air our dirty laundry here.
Okay.
Alright, so for Fosh, for Kyokai, I'm Jero, and we'll see you in a couple weeks for episode 35. Bye bye.
Bye. Sign her up.
Go away.